forget these passages as I speak this morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Don't forget this passage. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't forget this passage. Be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't forget this passage. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject being weary with forbearing. Our text verse is this. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. That word forbearing, meaning this, I was weary with not being weary. He said, I got tired because I was not tired. He said, I was weary because I was no longer weary. He said, I was more weary when I wasn't weary than I had been when I was weary. That's what he's saying. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know the story. Before I pray, I want to just give it to you briefly. Jeremiah was called of God to warn the people about the coming impending judgment at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Nobody listened to him. Nobody took him seriously. Made faces at him. He was in derision, it says, daily. They mocked him while he preached. Can you imagine a fellow preaching and folks out there mocking him? I mean, just saying the same thing he says after he says it. Nobody listened to him. Nobody said amen. Nobody took him seriously. He knew judgment was going to come. And he got tired. He got weary of it. He said, there's no need. He said, there's just no need at all. I'm just going to quit. And so he did quit. And when he quit, he went alone. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But the thing I want you to notice is this. He got weary of not being weary. I preached a sermon one time on don't be weary of being weary, but he got weary of not being weary. He got tired of not being tired. He said, I was more rested when I was tired than I am now that I'm rested. He said, I'm more weary now that I'm not weary than I was when I was weary. I want to talk to you on the subject, weary with forbearing. Father, I'm not sure I know a more needed truth in this vacation-type land of ours, this days-off land, this playground land of ours, this holiday land, and yet we have the tiredest people in the world. God, help me this morning to help my people. Amen. When the Roman Empire was destroyed, right before its destruction, the Roman government had 167 paid holidays a year. 167 paid holidays a year. America's never had as many pep pills as she has now, and as many days off as she has now. I mean, we've never had as many people that are tired. Everybody's got tired blood. And never had as many people who are tired. And yet the truth is, we have more holidays, more days off than we've ever had in the history of our nation. Something wrong, isn't there? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, we got everything in the world to make us rested, but we're not rested. Doctors' offices are packed and jammed with people who have nothing wrong with them at all, except they're tired. I do not know how many people have come to me and said, Brother Hines, I have no energy. I'm just worn out. I'm just totally exhausted. I've had all kinds of tests, and the doctor says he can't find anything wrong. The doctors are getting rich on our health. And they say, I'm just tired all the time. And, preacher, I don't understand. The doctor can't find a thing wrong. Truth is, they're disappointed. They wish the doctor had found cancer of the bone or something. What's wrong? I don't know what's wrong. We don't understand God's prescription for rest and strength and joy and happiness. For example, on what day of the week is America tiredest? Monday. Monday. You know why? We've rested ourselves to death. We've rested so much, we're worn out. That's why you call it Blue Monday. Because we're worn out on Monday. Why? Because we've been working awful hard resting. I know preachers have to play golf every Monday morning to get over the nervousness of having preached on the peace of God on Sunday. Have I prayed yet? Good. I want to be sure I prayed. I want God to get in this sermon. Jeremiah got weary of the battle, just like you are. He got weary of the battle. He got weary of the battle because nobody listened to him. He knew judgment was coming, but nobody would believe him. He knew that the cloud of Nebuchadnezzar would soon come upon the land, but nobody believed him. He knew the people would soon be taken bondage, but nobody believed him. The prophets of Baal and of the false prophets, they had predicted that peace would come. Jeremiah said, no war is going to come. They had predicted that God's blessing would come. Jeremiah said, no, God's cursing is going to come. They had predicted that God was going to give the land prosperity and plenty, and Jeremiah had predicted that God was going to give the land famine, heartbreak, war, defeat, and bondage. And nobody listened to him. They wanted to hear the good message. They wanted some pussyfooting prophet to say peace, peace, when there was no peace. So Jeremiah got discouraged. He said, "Phooey, nobody's listening anyhow. Why am I wasting my time? I'm worn out. My life is passing, and I'm missing life. My life is passing by. I'm missing it. I may as well just quit. I'm not doing any good. I mean, if judgment's going to come anyway, why should I warn of people about judgment's going to come? Let me tell you why, Jeremiah. If you listen to him, I'll tell you why. You're supposed to do what God says to do, whether you can figure out why or not. If God said go preach to them and warn them, even if they're not going to listen, you're supposed to go preach to them and warn them. The reason for serving God is obedience, not success. So, Jeremiah said, I think I'll quit. He went out in the woods and bought him a cabin. And, or rented a place in the woods, a cabin maybe. Out where the painters paint, where they see the beautiful scenery in. He said, I'm just going to rest. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm going to rest. So he just read the Bible. That's all he did. He made a mistake there, boy. I guarantee you. You read this book and you'll get ready to go. And he said, but he just read the Bible. I'm going to be a theologian, teach on weekends in a Bible college somewhere, and I'm going to be a theologian. I'm just going to learn the Bible. Fooey on this hellfire and damnation preaching. I'm going to preach on possibility thinking and the power of positive thinking. And, we're going to have some little cell groups in our church, and we're going to get together and just go deep in the Word. And we're going to preach the Lordship salvation, make light of the blood, and get as many jabs here as I can this morning. And he said, I'm tired of this confrontational evangelism. I'm going to be for lifestyle evangelism. And so he is out there reading his Bible and resting. Got himself one of these chairs, a recliner chair. Bible says it was his vibrator chairs. And I think that's what the Bible said. I've forgotten. But anyway, he got in one of these vibrator chairs and just laid down out in the woods and enjoyed it and did exactly what everybody in this room thinks would make you happy. But something happened. Strangest thing. He got more weary than he was. He got tireder than he was. He got weary of not being weary. You see, folks, having no load was a bigger load than the load. Having no sorrow was a bigger sorrow than the sorrow. Having no heartache, are you listening to me? Having no heartache was a bigger heartache than the heartache. The burden of no burden was bigger than the burden of burden. You see, your sorrow qualifies you to have joy. Now, we're going to put on our diving suits and go down a little bit, so be sure you can breathe now. And I'm going to go down a little bit for a second. You see, sorrow qualifies you to have joy. Until you've laid the foundation of sorrow, you'll have no joy. Joy is... See, we want either rest or weariness. But you can't have one or the other. Now, you can have weariness without rest, but you can't have rest without weariness. We want to divide the two. We want either joy or sorrow. We want God to take our joy and drive away the sorrow. But that isn't it. You see, it doesn't work that way. Joy is the medicine which eases the pain. You don't have the pain, you don't take the medicine. So joy is not possible unless pain and sorrow is already there. They that sow in amusement parks shall reap in joy, Bible says. They that sow in great America shall reap in joy, Bible says. They that sow in picnics and fun and vacations and holidays shall reap in joy, the Bible says. They that sow in laughter and ha-ha and whoopee and rah-rah shall reap in joy. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And you can't get joy without tears. Nobody has joy without tears because joy is the tear chaser. Joy is the medicine that you take when you're hurt because of tears and pain. I wish we knew that. Oh, this old vacation. I'm not against vacations. I'm against day off, weekend trip. I'm simply saying the whole nation is wacky. We've never been so tired, never had so much time to rest in all of our lives. And the reason is, we've got the idea that fun and joy is something that is without sorrow. But the honest, simple truth is, it doesn't work that way. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So the highway to joy is called tears. And if you don't travel the highway to tears, you'll never get to the destination of joy. Because joy never walks alone. Joy never comes unless tears have already come. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How do you come again rejoicing? You go forth and weep. You folks that don't want to cry, you never are happy either. The complaining crowd is the crowd that drives the Rolls Royces. The complaining crowd is the crowd that lives in the nice $100,000 home. The complaining crowd's the crowd that has the pretty furniture. The complaining crowd's the crowd that eat, drink, be merry. That's the complaining crowd. But the joyful crowd is the crowd that has tears and heartbreak and sorrow and sadness and gloom. And God says, the only way I can help that is joy. But you don't put the fire out until you got the fire. Joy is the water that God pours on the fire of sadness. But no sadness, no joy. No fire, no water. Strength, hear this now. Strength is the sustainer of work, not the deliverer from work. Nobody ever takes a day off to get stronger. You get strong while you work. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. And they shall walk and not what? All right? Didn't say they shall sit and not be weary. Didn't say they shall nap and not faint. It says they shall run and not be weary. Now, the word wait upon the Lord doesn't mean sit around waiting upon God like you wait for the bus. It means wait on God like a waitress waits on you at the restaurant. It means you come to God and say to God, may I take your order, please? God, I'm going to take your order. What would you like me to bring you? What would you like me to do for you? That kind of person, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they are God's waiters, God's servers. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Nobody who sits is not weary. Nobody gets strength from God who's loafing. Nobody gets strength from God who's sleeping. You folks that don't even know the sun comes up gradually, you'll never get rested. I'm simply saying that there's something wrong with this old cockeyed world. Somehow or other, we have learned that there's rest in work and not rest in loaf. I'm simply saying that strength is the sustainer of work, not the deliverer from work. Then say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings and not run. Doesn't say they shall mount up with wings and quit running. It says they shall walk and not, they shall run and not faint, they shall walk, one or the other, and not be weary. Not sure what it says, but it's a good sermon. I'm simply saying that we've never learned yet that God's rest is not a substitute for work. God's rest is a sustainer while you work. Said, they shall run. It means they won't get weary while they run. Doesn't mean they stop running. They won't get weary while they walk. Doesn't mean they stop walking. I guarantee you that the folks that have worked the hardest this week in this room probably have more strength this morning and are less tired than you who've loafed. I guarantee you, the little gal that stays up at night and watches Johnny Carson. He's a missionary to Hollywood. Who watches Johnny Carson. And then you watch this guy, Ledbetter, is that his name? Is that on after Carson? Ledford? Letterman. Who said that? I want your name. That you, Sally? Okay. Letterman. And you say, well, I'm a late night person. No, you're not. You're a loafing person. You sit up and watch that dirty box at night, and you sleep till 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and get up and eat breakfast at 11 o'clock, and loaf. I guarantee you, that's the tiredest bunch in the world. Look at the Hollywood crowd. They're all tired. Why? They're loafers. Workers get strength. Workers get walk. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah found that. That's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, good night. I've been sitting out here doing nothing. I'm tired than I was. I was doing something. Jeremiah said, I was up there preaching up a storm. They were throwing rocks at me and blood dripping off my face. And I was miserable. And I worked hard. And they tried to kill me. And they cursed me. And they mocked me. And they made fun of me. And I was a reproach. And Jeremiah said, I just absolutely got so tired. I've got to rest. I've got to do it. So he quit his working and rested. And I am so... Doctors, don't get upset with me. But I'm upset with you. Now, you doctors, don't get mad at me, because you get mad at me and it's going to be worse on you tonight. But now, listen, don't get mad at me. But I am so sick and tired of doctors prescribing rest for cures, I don't know what to do.
Well, little lady, what you need to do, you've got your blood pressure is down to 100 to over 10.
You're not sick, you're dead, woman.
But your blood pressure is down. And what you need to do is you just need to rest more.
Well, my Bible doesn't say that. My Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What the doctors ought to say is just prescribe, wait on God. Now, again, I'm not talking about standing around waiting on God like you wait on your wife to get ready for church on Sunday morning. I won't wear anybody out. I'm talking about the fact that you're God's waiter. You say, Lord, I'm ready to do it. I'll do what you say. I'll go where you say go. I'll be what you say be. I'll do what you say do. And you serve Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What it says? Didn't say they that sit in the recliner shall renew their strength. Didn't say they that sit that lay down on beds of ease and beds of ivory shall renew their strength.
It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because you serve God. That's why. First thing these heathen doctors will do is take your Sunday school class away. Say, well, yeah, but preacher told me the other day. He said, the doctor told me I'm supposed to take off a week a month. And I said, man, give me the address and name of that doctor. Take off. I'm simply saying that that's not what the Bible says. But first thing you do, you better quit your serving God. Now, serving God's what gives you strength. That's what the Bible says. Who are you going to believe, the doctor or God? You ought to just quit your Sunday school class. No, you shouldn't. You ought to double your effort to build it. You ought to take off work for a while. Your full-time work for God. Take off work for a while. No, you shouldn't. You ought to work harder. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me tell you something. Walk these old sin-sick, weary, tired, pep pill-taken, tranquilizer-taken nation needs is a good old-fashioned dose of work. Now, the old farmers that work 14 hours a day didn't take any pep pills. Their work was pep. Before the sun came up, they'd be out yonder in the field somewhere. They'd work out in the field with their hands and their backs and their bodies till the sun went down at night and it was so dark they couldn't work anymore. Then they had to come in and chop the woods and maybe milk the cows. You milk the cows at night, milk the cows. You gather the eggs at night. I don't know when you gather eggs, but I gather them at breakfast. But anyway, gather the eggs and milk the cows at night and then get in bed. And get a little 6, 7, 8 hours sleep at night and get up before sunup, hit the field again, follow old Bossy in the plow across the field, and they worked. Our nation was built on people like that. We didn't know what tranquilizers were in those days. Why? Because we knew who God was in those days. See, Jeremiah found out. He found out that rest is the burden bearer. And you don't have any burden to bear. You have no rest. God does not give you rest from the burden. He gives you rest to carry the burden, and no burden, no rest. Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what it says, isn't it? Now the next verse tells what the rest is. Take my yoke upon you. You know what the yoke is? Yoke's that hooks up to the plow. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Man is a piece of machinery that will not have rest unless he has a yoke. Jesus said, come unto me, if you labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We think, well, come to me, and the Lord said, he'll sit down at my feet. No, he doesn't. He says, get by my side and let's pull this plow. Well, what is that? Lord, I'm already tired. He said, I'm going to give you some rest. Well, but Lord, I'm already tired. I'm weary. I've been pulling a load. God said, I'm going to give you my load. And he said, my load gives you rest. My load gives you strength. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like me, but if you don't like me, I'm not going to like you either, so it's 50-50. When our kids are little, they sleep most of their lives away. I think our children get far too much sleep. I say it. I'm going to lose a lot of members right here on purpose. You got to get to bed at 8 o'clock.
Well, now, would you tell me what verse that's in?
Our kids, mom and dad stay up to midnight and the kids get to bed at 8. Good night.
They got the new machinery. We got the machinery that's worn out. I'm not very smart, but I know a new car runs better than an old one.
Good night. If anybody's going to get to bed at 8 o'clock, let it be me. I mean, I'm washed up. Let me get to bed at 8 o'clock. Let the kids stay up to midnight.
And it's on Saturday. It's the only day we have off.
Well, bless God, a lot of us don't have any days off at all. What do they do? Lay in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. What are we doing? We're rearing a bunch of lazy, sickly, weakly, unproductive young people. That's what we're doing.
Start it off. A little bit of children. Don't forget to get to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Wake up 4 in the afternoon next to tomorrow. The whole thing is cockeyed, folks. God says, do my work, and I'll rest you. That's what he says. Jeremiah found that the biggest burden is no burden. Jeremiah found that the biggest heartache is no heartache. Jeremiah found that the biggest sorrow is no sorrow. Jeremiah found that the biggest weariness is no weariness. He must find a way to find rest in weariness. He must find a way to find joy in sorrow. He must find a way to find strength in work, or he won't find it. I'm simply saying, you folks that have no sorrow, you have no joy, because joy is the result of sowing in tears. You don't sow in tears, you don't reap in joy. You must find a way to find rest in our work. That's what Galatians 6:7 means. Be ye not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap, if you what? Faint not. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to what? Didn't say men are always to sleep and not to faint. Didn't say men ought always to loaf and not to faint. Didn't say men are always to play golf and not to faint. I'll guarantee you, these preacher golfers, I guarantee you, they're tired than those of us at work. I guarantee you. You play golf like I play golf. You'd need a day more to come, even needing a day off after you played golf and after you preached.
I worked all yesterday. I had to preach. I told my people that God would give them peace. I'm nerve-wracked. I got to go play golf.
And while your people are getting up on Monday morning and going to work, you sorry rascal, you chasing that white ball around the pasture. Curtis Hudson said, when he heard me preach the first time, he said, I'm going to get up before he does. I made mention, 5:45. He said, I'm getting up 5:44. He said, nobody's getting up before I do. He said, then one day he found a paper boy came at 5 o'clock. He said, I'm getting up 4:49. Then one day somebody said, the milkman came at 3:45. Dr. Hudson said, I was getting up before I went to bed. Be ye not weary in well-doing. Didn't say be not weary. It said, be not weary in well-doing or of well-doing. Don't be weary of being weary. And Jeremiah said, I got tired, and I said, I've got to have some rest. And I'm not against rest. I believe in sleep. But I'll tell you what, I don't believe in 12 hours a night, and I don't believe in a weekend trip every weekend, and I don't believe in a holiday every 2 weeks, and I don't believe in a vacation every 6 months. I'm simply saying that America's tired today because America is not working today, and loafing makes us tired, that rather than working makes us tired, and America was less tired when she worked more and loafed less. And the truth is, loafing is none but working. You know what loafing is? Loafing is diversion. Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, plays tennis on his day off. Jimmy Connors, the tennis player, plays golf on his day off. The man, the city goes out, has an acre of land where he farms it on the day off. The farmer comes downtown, watches the lagoon in Chicago, and goes up on top of the Hancock Building on his day off. There's no such thing as work or rest. There's only diversion. And I decided one time just to divert all the time. I decided that, for example, on Saturday morning, I have appointments. I get weary of having appointments. I take care of college business, meet Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen. I can get weary of that in a hurry. And I get weary of that. 3 minutes later, I meet with the principals. And I'm simply saying, somebody said, well, the house, you do so much. I don't say you keep them going crazy. Listen, that's not the problem. You keep your mind on one thing, that's the problem. Diversion. I mean, why can't... Look, you heard me say this. I used to mow the yard. Did you know that? Yeah, I used to mow the yard. Three times I did. No, but years ago, I used to mow the yard. That's why I started the rescue mission, was to get out of it. Let the mission men do it. But I used to mow the yard. And funny thing about that, when Dave was a boy, he wanted, Daddy, please let me mow the yard. I said, son, you got to learn to walk first. When he was two, anyway, he said, so one day I got him a little toy lawnmower, and he walked beside me. I walked with the big lawnmower. He walked with the little one. As I mowed, he was beside me with the toy one. And one day, we traded mowers. Oh, happy day. But that strange thing. Kids want to work till we ruin them. What kind of toy did your girl want for Christmas? She wanted her own ironing board. She wanted her own, are you listening? She wanted her own kitchen dishes and pots and pans. But you ruined it. You've got to get your rest, honey. Well, listen, by the time a girl's 8 years old, you mothers ought to have washed your last dish. Your husband can wash them by then. Well, the child's 8 years old, he's through rearing the child. He hasn't got to change any more diapers and make any more formula. I'm simply saying that God Almighty says you get busy in my work and ye shall find rest for your soul. Busy housewife, you will find one day that the most weary thing is not being a busy housewife. Is there any mother in here this morning who has a son that's away in college and living in the dormitories in a college, not housed there, but somewhere else? Any mother here like that, your son's away in college? Any mother like that? All right, back here. See, his son's away in college. Now, I got news for you. I know what she used to say. I'm sick and tired of washing his clothes. He's got grass stain or dirt stain from hitting the baseball and running in the field. He's got grass stain from sliding into third base. He's got some other kind of stain because of third base. Chips. But anyway. And clothes are... Oh, I'm so tired of washing these clothes. But now, wait a minute. He went away to college. Gone one semester. He came back home and said, Mom, I've got something I want you to do for me. And you said, do you? What? He said, would you wash my clothes? You said, you're tickled pink. Yeah. What did he do? Open the trunk of the car and exploded. Out they came. Remember? Out they came. Mama went down, took that truckload of clothes. She put them in the washing machine. And a tear of joy trickled down her cheek. Precious memories, how they linger. How they ever flood my soul. Why? You thought you didn't want the load to bear, didn't you? But you did want the load. I guarantee you. You know who the women in America are who are too tired to fix supper for their families? You know who they are? The ones that watch the soap operas in the afternoon. That's the ones that don't fix supper.
Well, you know why? They're tired of resting. And there's no weariness like resting. Old Dr. John Rice said to me one time, he said, Dr. Howes, he said, we're sitting around down in Jamaica. He and I were in Jamaica. We decided to go deep sea fishing. All we caught was a cold. But we had deep sea fishing. And you know, within an hour, Dr. Rice, I wonder why he took his briefcase on the boat. Within an hour, he was working on a book. I said, what you doing? He said, I'm working. I said, why? He said, this resting wears me out. That's what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah was saying, I tried to quit. I thought I needed rest. But he said, I found that I was weary. More weary of not being weary than I was of being weary. And the load of not having a load was heavier than the load of having a load. And the burden of not having a burden was worse than the burden of having a burden. He said, and the word of God began to burn in my bones like a fire. And I could not contain myself. He said, I got to go back to work. That's what I got to do. Why? Because he was tired of not being tired. Working Father, enjoy the work. The day is going to come when you'd love to be rested from your work. Weary pastor, enjoy your ministry, because the day will come when you'll be so weary because you don't have it anymore. Tired businessman, enjoy the load you carry, because you'll be more weary of not having that load someday than you ever were of having that load. Rest alone is no rest. Joy alone is no joy. Strength alone is no strength. For joy must have sorrow in order to be joy, and strength must have labor in order to be strength. The answers in the scriptures I gave you a while ago. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The answer is in Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Lord, I sure be glad to get that rest. He said, hey, get up there, man. Get up there. I got something for you. What you got? A Coca-Cola and a cheese quarter pounder? No, sir. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Men are always to pray and not to faint. And Jeremiah said the word of God burned like a fire in my bones. I have not known the heartaches that some of you have known, but I have known some heartaches. But I'm a happy man today. I have not known the burdens that many of you bear, but I have borne a few burdens. But I'm a happy man today. I have not known the toil that many of you have endured, but I've known some hard work. But I'm a rested man today. You know why? Because I found that joy cannot come till the forerunner of sorrow has come. And I found that if you're not tired, you'll never be rested. Because rest is a cessation of being tired. And I have found that there is never peace until there's been a battle. For peace is the one who is preceded by the battle. Stay in the battle. Keep on going. Sure, set some time for some rest. You ought to get some sleep at night. Sure. But the sun shouldn't get up before you do. Get busy for God. The doctors ought to say, your trouble is you're not working for God enough. Get you a Sunday school class and build it. That's what the doctors ought to say. First thing they'll say, your child is sick. Don't let him come to church. I don't believe that. Don't believe it. I just don't believe it. You say, well, I don't agree with you. Well, you've got a right to your opinion. I've got a right to mine. But I make a living expressing mine. But you can't get paid that easy. I don't believe it. I don't believe obeying God ever hurt anybody. And my Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Well, I don't see that.
Well, you have to see it. It's in the book. I don't think obeying God ever hurt anybody. Don't think so. God wants to give you joy. I wish I could. I got a church full of people this morning. I'd love to tell you how to have joy. But you don't want it. Because joy has never come except to be an extinguisher for sorrow. And a person who's never known sorrow has ever known joy. And nobody has ever known joy who's never known tears. And nobody has never known rest who doesn't know work. And nobody has never known peace who hasn't known a battle. So just keep on keeping on. And God in His mercy says, you got a heartache this morning? Keep on going. I was talking to a couple yesterday. And they said, how can we face it? And I said, as I've said so often in this pulpit, you just face it. You just face it. How can we keep going? You just keep going. How do we hold up? You just hold up. How do we take it? You just take it. But you don't quit obeying God. Nobody ever gets rested by quit. Jeremiah was called of God to do something, and Jeremiah quit what God called him to do, and Jeremiah got tired because he wasn't working at what God called him to do. Get busy for God. Don't shrink from the sorrows. Don't run from the tears. Don't run from the battles. Don't run from the burdens. Don't complain about them. Accept them. Because a burden is the forerunner to rest. And a sorrow is the forerunner to joy. Is there enough psychology and philosophy spoken in this pulpit in the last 37 minutes to transform America if you listen to me? Our Father, bless the message to our people.